Welcome to the Theater Project.
Today, the Theater Project is thinking about what it's like to coordinate an event like our Young Playwrights Competition. Grace Carver, the event coordinator, sits down with the competition's director and her father, Kevin, to talk about her personal experience, what it takes to coordinate such an event, and provides a retrospective highlighting selected plays from previous years.
Hello, my name is Kevin Carver. I'm a volunteer with the Theater Project. I've been with the Theater Project for over 10 years now, and I'm very excited to have as a special guest today the event coordinator for the Young Playwright Competition, Grace Carver. Not only an excellent event coordinator, she's also my daughter. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
So, Grace, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so in around, 2021, I started listening to a lot of fiction podcasts and stuff, and I've been a part of different theaters before, so being involved in the Theater Project, I think I was able to influence my dad into different opportunities that podcasts allow, and I think that might have helped create this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would know that we got the idea to do the podcast from you, so that's a big kudos to you.
Thank you.
Now, you're in high school, maybe not obviously to me, so tell us a little bit about where you go to school and things like that.
Yeah, so I'm a freshman in Hillsborough High School, and I was able to do theater throughout basically all of middle school. And while I haven't been as involved in it at the high school, I would like to continue it, and I really do think it's a lot of fun. I love singing. I love, I play a little bit of bass guitar, and I played some cello at the middle school. I love baking. And so there's a lot of different things that I like to do. I want to start exercising more when summer comes around, and yeah.
Awesome. So now, this is your first year. Can you tell us a little bit about what an event coordinator does at the Theater Project?
Yeah, so we start out in around September, and we just sent out information about the competition, and people are able to submit their plays for evaluation. So since there are over 600 schools in New Jersey, we do our best to reach out to all of those. And so that means that we're sending emails out to thousands of people. And while I don't know the exact number, I do know that over 80 high schools have been honored in our event. So that's a really fun opportunity for us to be able to do. And then once the grading is in, I send out information to the honorees and different people who won the competition, and I just think it's a really fun opportunity to be able to do that, and yeah,
it's I can tell you I get a lot of feedback on the Young Playwright Competition, and it's one of, if not the most well-received event that the Theater Project does, because working with the high school students and being able to help them express themselves and producing the plays and letting them see their work done by professional artists and directors, I think it's really an excellent event for everyone involved. So thank you for all your efforts on that.
Yeah, thank you.
So today, I think you were going to take us through some clips from prior competitions, and what's really pretty exciting about this as well is that a lot of the playwrights that have participated in competition have also participated in some of our podcasts in the past. So I'm going to be mentioning which podcast they're in. So for the listeners, if you want to get more information about any of these plays, you can check out those podcasts as well. So why don't we start with 2021, since that was the first year that we started to record them. Can you tell us a little bit about the competition in 2021?
Yeah, of course. So in 2021, four plays were performed. And the first place was actually a tie between Brennan Columbia Walsh from Montclair Kimberly Academy, who wrote The Opossum, and Alejandro Espinal from the Academy for Performing Arts in Scotch Plains, who wrote Proscenium Delirium. For the second place winner, we had Ryan Rosenthal from Cranford High School and his play, The Patron's Redeemer. And for third place was Julian Martin from Scotch Plains Fanwood and his play, We Are Numbers.
So which clip are we going to hear first?
So for the first clip, we'll hear a clip from The Opossum, which is a western about a lawman who has some tricks up his sleeve, despite being quite old. And I really enjoyed it, so let's give it a quick listen. Brennan was also featured in the Theater Project's podcast episode 3.
I said, don't call me Fat Man!
Well, okay then. I'm already slim. Oh, what am I to call you?
Call me Lenny. Lenny Shaw.
What? Lenny Shaw? It is.
Walk me through it.
Oh, sure, partner. So, this fella, he'll be coming in any second now. He thinks he's coming here to meet up with us to plan out a hit on the Silverton Bank. Oh, but we'll be doing no such thing. We'll just let him speak for a little bit, and when he's not looking, well, you know the rest.
We gonna bushwhack
him? We gonna bushwhack him.
And what's this feller like?
He's a mean fella. He's so mean, he makes you and I look like the sons of Maiden Mary. We talking about the Pittsburgh Possum, the most wanted outlaw this side of the Mississippi. Oh, yeah, he's a slippery bastard. Oh, he's got a fast gun, but faster with his words. Convince a chicken out of its feathers. Yeah, that's where his talents really lie. Oh, that mean bastard.
What's his story?
They say he's born to two outlaws. When he was 8, he killed his first man, and it was his father. Oh, they say at the bucking age of 16, he bled a whole city dry in just a month and burned it down when there was no more money to collect. Oh, he went to the army and rose them ranks quicker than the sun shines over Topeka. One winter, he went up a mountain with his cousin before a storm hit. Came back down 3 months later with a different pair of boots. They say he ate the man.
You must be the Fat Man.
The name's Shaw.
Well, boy, my name's Colonel Murdoch Monroe, and it's only right you lift your fat ass off that there seat when I walk into the room, you hear?
Colonel Murdoch.
What?
Colonel Murdoch,
Who's there?
No, it's me, sir. It's Slim.
Who?
It's Slim. Jim. Jim Welsh.
Who?
Jim Welsh.
Oh, okay. Well, Slim, tell this here feller to get off his ass.
Just stand up.
He's standing?
Oh, yeah, he's standing.
Y'all got shooting irons?
Left them with the tender. Take a seat, Colonel. Sit down.
Where?
Well, here, in the chair.
So, they's called you Fat Man?
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Why they call you that?
'Cause I'm fat.
What?
'Cause I'm fat.
You're what?
Fat, Colonel. He's fat. He's got a big old belly.
Well, fat guy, I've got a nickname, too. You know what they call me?
What?
They call me the Pittsburgh Possum. You want to know why?
Why?
I got no goddarn idea. That's the thing about nicknames. They don't got to mean nothing. They ain't calling me the fat man. They ain't calling you the fat man because you're fat. You're fat because they call you the fat man. But I wear my nickname with pride. No matter what they call you, as long as they call you something, you's got to be one mean-ass outlaw to get a nickname. That's all I know. Don't give a rat's ass what it is.
Colonel, let's get talking about the Silverton Bank.
A very fun play. And then what's our second clip?
So, for our second clip, we'll have Ryan Rosenthal's play, The Patron's Redeemer. It's a modern take on the story of Orpheus in Greek mythology, and it's set in Christmas time in a bar. Ryan was also featured in episode 8 of our theater project podcast. Let's give that one a listen.
I serve you drinks. That's all I do for you.
Yeah. And it makes me happy more than you'd know. That's why I keep coming back. Speaking of drinks.
Yeah, I think there's another reason you keep coming back here, and it isn't me. I think you're looking for something you're not going to find. Sorry, Oliver, but we don't serve you here anymore.
What the hell do you mean you don't serve me anymore?
I can't deal with you. You're going to need to go somewhere else if you want a drink.
I can't go anywhere else. I mean, nowhere is like here. I mean, Karen's is... It's different. Can't you just get another bartender or something?
Everybody's home with family. I'm the only one left.
Let me talk to your manager.
No, Charlie's busy.
Charlie. Please. Just one drink. Look, I promise I won't bother you again.
I'm sorry. I can't do that for you.
How did you find this place? Huh? How did you find me?
Bring me back.
It's impossible.
Take me to her.
You know I can't do that, Orpheus.
Aaron, just give me one more chance. I know I fucked everything up the last time, but I...
That's the thing. Most people don't even have a chance to begin with. You convinced us to let you take her back. You were given something most people would die for. You still blew it.
I just want to see her one more time. Even if I can't talk to her, please, just bring me back down.
No! You know there's only one way you can be with her again, but I don't think you want to go down that road.
Oh, you don't? Yeah. Well, give me a bottle, and I'll prove you wrong.
Orpheus!
Listen, every drop that I drink brings me closer. Night after night, sitting here, you know, grasping onto a faded image, until one day I'll be back with her, whether you want to bring me there or not.
I'll be bringing you there regardless. Gotta get across the river somehow.
Let me bring her back.
I'll do you one better. If you shake my hand right now, I'll take you down to the underworld. And you can be with her again, but...
What's the catch?
Can't come back here. To the overworld. It's a one-way ticket to what you want, but you'll stay down there with her.
Can I have 24 hours?
Nope. Think of this as my Christmas gift to you.
I just don't think
that... No, you know, you're right. You come back here every night, drinking yourself half to death until you can see into my world. That's the thing. You know your boundaries, and you won't cross that river.
Such an interesting play. Who is our next clip?
So our next one is actually Julian's play, which is We Are Numbers, and it centers on four students who live in a world where students' performance in school have dramatic repercussions for their future. Julian was actually featured in episode 11 of this podcast.
We Are Numbers by Julian Martin. Setting: a desolate high school classroom.
I failed! I really think I failed!
You say that after every test, April. You'll be fine.
But this time, I really think I failed! And this time, it matters!
So you finally admit that 1B on the math quiz last semester wasn't worth the panic attack.
Boo off, Noah! We're all a bit on edge here!
Noah, I'd really appreciate it if you don't talk to my girlfriend like that.
I'm fine, babe.
Whatever. I need water.
Miss Thomas said not to leave the classroom.
I'm thirsty!
You'll get a zero if you leave the room, Miss Thomas said.
Wow, I don't care.
You don't care. You really don't care.
He does care. Noah, sit.
If I don't get at least an 85, it's over.
85 doesn't mean over. That's not a bad grade.
For me, it is. I don't want to live a grade 80 life. It'll be okay. I'll probably be able to have a nice house and eat out occasionally and have a few kids, but it'll be fine. Just fine. Nothing more. I want an 89 or above. I'll settle for that. I want an above average life. My parents were both 80s, and I just need to be better.
Kate, we all want an 89 or above, but that's just not realistic. The world can't run if it's all 89s. You need your mix of 80s, 90s, 70s, and even 60s to make our world work.
Not 50s or 40s or below, though.
You had the same instruction book, right? If you received a 59 or below, you get sent to re-education. So you don't need to worry, April.
Exactly. 5 months after failing, you can retake the test, and at most, re-enter the world with an 82. Still, not bad at all. There's no serious need to worry.
Do you really think that's what happens?
Well, what else would happen?
Let me ask you this. Out of all the people we know, how many of you do you know that have actually gone through that scenario?
Huh?
Just listen, April. How many people do you know, or Jack know, have gone through this re-education? Has anyone's mom or dad or uncle actually received lower than a 59?
Noah, don't you remember? I think mom's friend.
No. Cheryl got an 86, but they misread it. Just a typo. No one we know actually got re-educated. So, Jack, do you know everyone?
Not that I can think of, no.
April?
I don't think I know anyone. No.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. In any movie or TV show, or even on the news, has there ever been a story about someone returning from re-education? Or what about, like...
Okay, Noah, you've gone long enough. Where are you going with this?
Guys, there is no re-education. The kids who get shit grades on their tests just seem to disappear.
So what, you're saying that you get sent to prison or something if for one grade?
No. Prison. That would be that would be too hard to hide.
You're not saying what you're...
Noah, what is wrong with you?
It makes sense, doesn't it? For 17 years, they convinced us that this test is everything. Why wouldn't they kill the kids who score lower than a 59 to keep the world clear of idiots?
I bet you feel that way sometimes when you're taking tests.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on to 2022. Can you tell us a little bit about the event for 2022?
Yeah, in 2022, first place prize went to Lena Elizabeth from Lawrenceville School and her play, Role Sisyphus. And second prize went to Isaiah Solano from Thomas Jefferson Academy and his play, The Subway. Third place prize was actually a tie between Mia Longenecker from Madison High School and her play, Burning Conversations, and Isabel Lindsay from Communications High School and her play, Community Garden.
I remember those plays very well. So why don't we give those a listen? And which one are we going to be hearing first?
Yeah, so for first place winner, we met Lena Elizabeth in the 14th episode of our podcast, and her play Role Sisyphus takes a comedic look on the classic Greek myth of Sisyphus, who is condemned to push a rock up a hill for eternity. But this song has a distinct modern take with labor rules and regulations.
Great, let's give it a listen.
With this lightning bolt, I will destroy you. You'll be ripped to shreds, and whatever pieces are left will have to push an even bigger boulder up an even steeper hill. You will be a lesson for all eternity for those who seek to defy Zeus and the gods!
Way to go, brother!
Any last words, Sisyphus?
Actually, I do. You can't do this.
What?
No lightning bolts today, or ever, for that matter.
What are you talking about? I'm Zeus. I have the power to do whatever I desire. The power of Olympus.
Yeah, but you actually don't. You know, in addition to all those podcasts, I also listen to an audio recording version of The Complete Rules of Olympus and the Underworld version 3.2.
Really? The whole thing? That's torture right there.
Hades, what is Syphilis talking about? What is he doing?
First off, he hates being called Syphilis. Secondly, those are the rules that govern the behavior of the gods. I mean, don't you remember? You said we needed it.
I did? God damn it! That must have been when I was in my democratic stage. Too much time in Athens and all. Only one thing to do now. Calling the lawyers.
What's the next play that we're going to be listening to?
Isaiah Sawano's play, The Subway, tells the story of two boys who meet in a subway platform. One of them has led a sheltered life, while one has led a tough life on the street. They have an honest conversation and end up becoming friends, and this friendship is soon put to the test. Isaiah was met in episode 16 of our podcast.
Time, present. Place, a subway station in New York City. Romero enters.
Yo, what's up, boss? You want me to do what? I thought we had a good amount of people already. You know I don't like recruiting people. Come on, you can't give this shit to someone else? Alright. I'll get it done. You'll have a new recruit by the end of the day. You have my word.
So what about your dad?
What about him?
He tried to kill you?
Yeah, he did. You sure you want to hear this, bro? It's pretty brutal.
Got nothing else to do.
I guess so.
Come on, get on with it.
So my pops used to be my mom, and he had a drinking problem. So around the time I turned 13, I started lashing out at my dad. One night, my mom was really getting beaten, and I tried to stop pops. And that didn't go so well because my dad pulled a knife on me, and he tried to stab me. He actually got me right here. He got through the arm, and then my mom came behind him with a bottle right across the back of his head. The cops came with an ambulance. My dad died in a hospital, and my mom was taken to prison.
Great play. So our next play for 2022, can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, so that one is Burning Conversations by Mia Longenecker, which centers on a group of friends who visit an up-and-coming artist at her art opening. They get caught in an elevator during a fire, and trapped, the friends open up about their fears. A surprising ending shows us that fate can bring both loss and freedom. We met Mia in episode 28 of our podcast series.
What? What's wrong with it?
I don't know. There's just a lot of red going on. You said this was a happy piece, right?
Yeah. Does it not come across as that?
Comes across as red.
Yeah, that is the color I chose to paint with.
You know, blues and pinks exist, right? It just comes across as very screamish.
People who use the word screamish should not be trying to give input.
I just thought, with this whole showcase coming up, that you'd be able to toughen your skin.
Mean this in a bad way, but maybe you're just against conventionally fun things.
No. I just don't like that there has to be an aftertaste to the moment, you know?
Well, yeah, because it's over.
No, it's not that. It's weird because it's not like bawling, crying sad, but it's so emptying. I think that's what sadness is. It's not necessarily being at your nadir, but it's being self-aware that you're not at your zenith. I mean, it's not always that feeling. Only when the moment sucks you in and spits you out by remembering you had to paint and go back to life again.
You hate painting so much. Hop off the ship, dude.
But I feel like I'd be losing the art of it all. The art of everything.
Mia, by the way, is one of our artists who participated in several of our events. Mia has written a few plays that have been honored by the Young Playwright Competition, so that's always really great to see. And now, which is the next play that we're going to be listening to?
The next play is Community Garden by Isabel Lindsay, which tells the story of a high school student, a college student, and an older woman who become trapped out on a rooftop. Each character's unique perspective on life provides valuable insight to the high school student as she ponders what direction her life will lead. We met Isabel in episode 20 of our podcast.
That's a good bit of listen.
Are you bringing the party up with you?
No, just me. I'm sorry, am I interrupting?
No.
Really, it's fine. Oh, did you prop the hatch?
The what?
The hatch for the opening to the rooftop?
Yeah.
Did you prop it?
Oh, no.
Ay, por Dios.
Está bien, voy a llamar a mis padres.
College, mija. Maybe you should ask him a few things.
Please, no more questions about college. I came up to this roof to avoid those questions, Señora Reina.
Ah, but you're not being asked. You're asking him. It's different. It's Aries' turn to think about college. She's such a smart girl.
Gracias, Señora Reina. Any advice? I'll be a senior next year.
Oh, yikes. Well, I learned some valuable stuff in college, but most of the learning I'm hoping to do out there. But I mean, other than that, it's a different experience for everyone.
You're no help. Eri Muñeca, you need to have more faith. You think so lowly of yourself.
What are you planning to do in college?
I'm not exactly sure. I think I'll look somewhere in computer science or something.
Okay, now on to 2023, last year's competition. You want to tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, so in 2023, our first place winner was Elise Harvey from Hillsboro High School and her play, Alistair's Garden. Second place went to Delia Mullen from Communications High School and her play, The Last Ones Left on Earth. For third place, we actually had tie, and it went from Nicole Beltry from Teaneck High School, and their play, El Latido del Corazon, and Henry Fryman from Communications High School, and his play, Westfield Family Dinner.
So now you know Elise, right?
Yeah, I met Elise this year. She and I both attend Hillsboro High School. She and I were both in a production together, and she's extremely talented and very funny. Elise was featured in episode 25 of our podcast. Alistair's Garden is a drama/mystery about concerned parents dealing with the persistence of their daughter's imaginary friend long after they had expected her to outgrow such things. A heartwarming twist ending provides a satisfying conclusion to the work.
Great, let's give it a listen.
Alistair's Garden by Elise Harvey. The scene opens on a beautiful garden. Penelope, a young girl of 6 or 7, skips through the garden holding a doll.
Penelope, come inside and get ready. You know how your Nana gets when we're late.
Coming. Whoa. That's a pretty locket. Wait till I show Mom.
A boy appears, holding a stuffed bear.
That's mine!
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. You can have it back if you like.
Thank you.
How did you end up in my backyard? And why are you here?
Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude. I just noticed that you have a very beautiful garden. Your daisies look like they need more sunlight, though.
I don't take care of the garden. It's boring. It's my mom's garden.
Never mind, then. It's a beautiful garden. I would just rearrange the daisies and the hydrangeas. Hydrangeas don't need as much sunlight.
You know a lot about flowers. Do you like gardening?
I love it!
My mom loves gardening, too. She says the garden is her happy place.
I know what she means.
She only grows flowers, though. Her boyfriend, Warren, wants her to grow vegetables. He's a psychiatrist.
What's a psychiatrist?
Not sure. I think they have to be smart. Warren is very smart.
Is that why he wants your mom to grow vegetables? Vegetables are very practical.
Yep, but my mom doesn't want to. She says that she doesn't want to grow things her heart doesn't need.
Nothing fills your heart like gardening.
If that's what you like. I prefer toys. Toys fill my heart pretty good.
I like your doll.
Thanks. I like your bear.
Want to trade?
Sure.
They trade.
What's her name?
I don't know. I never thought to give her one. You can name her whatever you like.
I'll name her Kate.
You can't give her that name. My mom already has that name.
Can't she just share it?
I guess so. I didn't know you could do that.
What's your name?
Penelope.
Penelope, will you be my most best friend?
Your most best friend?
There's a lot of best friends in the world, but I want us to be most best.
Huh. Okay, I'll be your most best friend. That's the day I made you up.
What?
You're my imaginary friend.
This is a joke, right? I'm not your imaginary friend. I'm your real friend. We traded toys. I've played countless games at your house. You've told me things you've never told anybody else. I'm your real friend. Your most best friend.
That was such a powerful play. I recommend anybody listen to Elise's podcast. It is really very well written. Now, what do you have for us next?
Yeah, so for our next play, we have Nicole and her play El Latido del Corazon, which tells the story of a sickly young girl who's housebound in the midst of the Spanish Revolution of 1936. The outside world is vibrant, while her personal experience is gray and sheltered. Her father struggles to keep her safe, while circumstances prevent both of them from happiness. The beckoning world outside offers both life and death.
How long do you expect me to just silently waste away here, obediently staring out the window of this cage?
It's your home, Paraguita.
It's a house. Your house. and a cage for every woman that has the misfortune of meeting you.
How many times? Your heart is weak, and you won't be able to withstand the outside. If it wasn't for New Age medicines, you would have been dead. So what are you not getting?
The fact that we can't even take one little stroll around the park.
I refuse to lose another daughter.
But that's the thing. There won't even be a chance to lose me if we go out. I don't have the strength to run off like her. And you could even tie us, arm and leg, if that makes you feel better.
You wouldn't even be safe if you could go outside, which you cannot. So stop taunting yourself with fairy tales and give me a break.
Every day, I watch kids half my age run up and down cobblestones, taunting everyone in sight. And I'm the one who's not safe? And I don't know why you're acting like Marjorie's dead. She seems pretty alive to me.
What the hell does that mean? You know what, Dolores? I've had enough.
I can handle the world. Please, just...
This conversation is over.
Just listen to me for once.
Do you hold depleting ears, too, or do you willfully choose to ignore the accounts of rebellion everywhere? Spain is more divided than ever, ready to split anyone of their tongue if the wrong thing is said. And you think that this is the right time to wander through the park?
I actually had the honor of interviewing Nicole. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Grace. And I really appreciate everything you do for the theater project.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
A pleasure, always. Now go clean your room.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Theater Project Thinks About. Our audio engineer was Kevin Carver, and our theme music was by Gail Lowe and Damian DeSandys. Visit thetheaterproject.org to sign up for our mailing list, as well as check out all the links and resources in the show notes. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please consider leaving a comment on our Facebook or Instagram page. That's all for this episode. We'll see you next time.